All right, this is kind of cool, Al, because we've talked to great reporters at the GM meetings before, but we never did it when we had a GM in the studio. And we have Billy King here, and he knows how these things go, the backroom conversations, setting up the trades, the free agents, that kind of stuff. Out in Scottsdale, Arizona, where it is it 7:02, Rhea, or 6:02?
Seven. I think they're 2 hours.
Yeah, Matt Breen from the Inquirer is on the line with us at the GM meetings where Matt Klentak is right now for the Phillies. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Angelo. It's 7:02. I wouldn't be on if it was 6:02.
All right. That's fair enough. I respect you even more for saying that, Matt. Matt, I got this thing. I want to play this JT Realmuto comment. Because it sounds to me like he expects John Middleton to open up the billfold again. Listen to JT yesterday.
They know we have needs. They're going to do whatever they can to make them. That's the beauty of this organization is they want to win right now, and John has made it clear that they want to win, and money isn't going to be an issue for us. Like, if we need guys, we're going to go out and get them, and if we have to pay for them, we're going to pay.
Matt, another big offseason of spending John Middleton's money? That's not what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think that's what I expected already. And then it carries a lot of weight when it's not only is JT Realmuto a team leader, but he's a guy that is waiting to sign a long-term extension. And I'm sure some of that weight has to do with what this team's going to do this offseason. And if they spend big, they go and get two starting pitchers, that's going to entice him even more to sign that contract. So to hear it coming from him, it definitely means something.
All right, wait a minute, Matt. You just dropped something in there. It was pretty exciting. Two starting pitchers?
Yeah.
You're going to, because there's a lot of starting pitchers available, including some elite ones. You're thinking two?
I think you need to. If you map out the starting rotation, you have Aaron Nola, obviously. Jake Arrieta is making $25 million, so he's in there. And then there's three openings. None of those young pitchers last year proved that they're a lock for next year. So give one of those openings to one of those three, Nick Pivetta, Vince Velasquez, and Zach Eflin. That's three. And now you have two openings. I think you have to go out and get two starting pitchers. And then you have Spencer Howard in AAA, and he takes the spot when he comes up of that third, that young Zach Eflin, Nick Pivetta, Vince Velasquez spot.
All right. I'm picturing – here's what I'm doing right now. I'm picturing in Clearwater, they are all sitting on the dugout when they're announcing that Harper is signed. And Scott Boras has got his own seat on that table, Matt. And Boras is controlling almost all of these big pitchers, right? It's the same guy that Middleton dealt with directly last year, right? Does it help that he's already got this thing that he did with Boras as far as Harper goes? Does that help the
Definitely.
Phillies?
Then Boras represents Jake Arrieta too. So two straight winners. He negotiated a big time contract with the Phillies. Now, like you said, he's got Strasburg, he has Gerrit Cole, and he also has Anthony Rendon, which I wouldn't count the Phillies out on any of those three guys. I think they're focusing on starting pitching. But they also need a third baseman. Anthony Rendon is probably the best third baseman in baseball right now. So the Phillies are gonna be in on all three of those guys, and it sure as heck helps that you already know Scott Boras, and that Scott Boras' number one client, Bryce Harper, plays in Philly, and it's going to benefit Scott Boras if his number one client wins. So I think he's going to be even more motivated to steer one of those big name guys to Philly.
All right, Matt, the big prize here is Cole, because he was the best pitcher in baseball last season. Give me a sense for that. Obviously, it's going to be a long. It's Boras. It won't. Nothing will happen before January. Knowing Boras, but Matt, is Cole open to playing on the East Coast? What are you hearing about Gerrit Cole?
Well, if you go back to last offseason, Bryce Harper wants to play in L.A. or San Francisco. You know, Patrick Corbin wants to play for the Yankees. Manny Machado wants to play for the Yankees. But when push comes to shove, money talks. They're professional athletes. They're out to make money. They're not out to play for childhood teams or to play in their hometown. You're out to make money and then win. And I think the Phillies have money. The Phillies have a chance to win. So if Gerrit Cole, like the early rumblings remind me of what it was last offseason with Harper, that Cole wants to play on the West Coast. But if the Phillies come with a pile of cash and it's the biggest contract, Gerrit Cole's not going to take a deal to play for the Angels or to stay on the West Coast. He's gonna chase the money, and if the money's in Philly, then yeah, I think all that is just nonsense that guys want to play in certain places. They're out to make money. I'd be out to make money. I'm sure you'd be out to make money too. That's the name of the game. So I think the Phillies have a real shot to get Cole. He's obviously the prize. He's number one. Strasburg, it's unclear if he's really like a true free agent or if he's just out. He's just opted out of his deal to re-up with the Nationals. That's going to probably come to light this week to see what his market really is. Boris is going to talk tomorrow, and I'm interested to hear what he has to say. But those two guys, Phillies are in on both, no doubt.
Here's the thing, Matt. If we know anything about Boris, the biggest bid usually wins. I got to bring Billy King in for a second. Billy, does usually the biggest bid win when you're going after a free agent?
Yeah, it usually does.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of other things they tell you about, but if your number's bigger than the other guys, yeah. You usually get them?
Yeah, because you can make them call and say, look, we have this much money, and then they put you in the mix.
Okay, so this is the thing, Matt. All these guys we're talking about, the Phillies' payroll has jumped a lot. They may have to jump over the luxury tax to get these guys. Are they going to be willing to go into that territory, even though there's going to be penalties to pay when you pay all these guys that kind of money?
I think for the certain player, and this is what John Middleton said at his end of the year press conference, for the certain player, he's willing to pay the tax. And I think if Garrett Cole pushes you over the tax, if Steven Strasburg pushes you over the tax, that's that certain player. That's that player that can make you a World Series contender. And when you look at the tax, the first year is not a very severe penalty. It gets more severe the more years continue that you stay over the tax. And there's a lot of money right now that's going to come off the books after this year, and Jake Arrieta, David Robertson. So they could be over the tax this year, but they could be in position to take themselves under the tax after the season.
All right, so you'd be willing to do it for 1 year because it's not that prohibitive. Here's the other thing. Klentak is there. He did an appearance on WIP last week. I don't even think he's talked to the regular beat guys yet. Matt, is he GMing for his job at these things? Is this a year he's got to produce or else?
I think so. I don't know if it's or else. I think it's if they don't make the playoffs this year, then it's a serious conversation at the end of the year if Matt Klentak's coming back. I don't think it's straight up. You know, he misses the playoffs, he gets fired because he still has multiple years left on his contract. But it at least he's on the warm seat, I would say. It's not a hot seat, but if they don't make the playoffs this year, in September and in October, people are going to be questioning if he's coming back next year. And once you start having those questions, that's when the seat gets hot. It's like last year they had to clarify that Gabe was coming back last year, but then this year, you know, he's not coming back. So I think you almost have to set the scene for that. And that's what that would happen if they don't make the playoffs this year.
All right. One last thing, only because you brought it up, Matt. Is Gabe getting the San Francisco job? What are you hearing?
It's quiet right now. And they just hired a new GM. Their GM's going to speak today. Curious to see what he has to say. I don't know. I think if he was getting the job, I really did think he was going to get the job, but I think if he was getting it, why wouldn't he be hired already?
Yep.
They know him so well, very close with the Dodgers. So I don't know. I'm starting to lean no, but I would not be surprised if he gets that job.
Matt Breen, Matt, I can't thank you enough for getting up early to do this. We'll be reading you all week in the Inquirer and all the other things associated with theinquirer.com. Matt, you do a great job. I really appreciate you doing this today.
Thanks for having me on, Angelo. Right. I appreciate it.
Matt Breen. Now, I got to go to Billy here for a second. Billy, what goes on? Take us inside GM meetings. This is where you lay groundwork for trades, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, does that work?
You start talking to guys before you get there. Yep. And then what you do when you get there is the other team, you see who's huddling up. You see guys like walking over the corner talking. Yeah. And then when they finish, you try to get to the guy that, you know.
Because you want to know who's available.
Yeah. So you start talking to guys like, would you do this or that? And you try to make these conversations where other people don't see you, but they tend to see you walk, so you know that you're...
They know.
Yeah.
Do you know going into the meeting, there's like some guys you go, man, if they become available, I got to take a run at them?
Yeah.
Do you have your own list going into those things?
Like right now, they know what they want to spend, to spend, and who they're going to maybe try to acquire in a trade. So you've done all that groundwork as the season ended, so now you're going to these meetings trying to secure it and see. But then mainly also out there, you've got the agents. So you're trying to have breakfast with the agents.
The free agent.
Yeah, and you try to do like Boris. You may want to meet with him in your room so other people don't see what you're doing.
What was more fun, signing a big free agent or pulling off a big trade?
The trades were the most exciting because
they
you get
are.
It done. Yeah, the signing is, it, like you said, it comes down to money. You know, you have the money, you give it to them, you get them. But the trades are the ones that you try to, especially if nobody knows that you're doing the trade.
When you do a trade, are you sure it's good?
No.
You're not. See, this is what Al, we all wish we could be a GM. Like, even after you make the trade, you go, man, I hope this works. Yeah.
Well,
you don't know,
no,
right?
You do it, and after you do it, you do the press conference, you sit back and go, okay, hopefully we're, especially midseason, because now you're trying to blend somebody in and hoping that the personality works and the, you know, and hoping that the coach plays them and buys into what you're doing.
How much does the coach, I know with Larry it was a lot. I'm sure it varies from coach to coach, but how much influence does a coach have on who you do and don't acquire?
A lot of times you'll talk to the coach, say, will this guy fit?
Yeah.
And if they say, yeah, if they buy into it and they say yes. And then once you get them, they start saying, well, I'm not sure. Then you say, whoa, wait a minute. You said you wanted this guy. So we're not, you know, there's no backing off now.
Right.
We told
that
you.
Right there is a direct reference to Larry. Larry would change his mind sometimes.
Larry did that when he was coaching at Denver.
Yeah.
They made the trade. He wanted George McGinnis from the Sixers.
Okay.
He wanted George McGinnis.
Real bad.
He begged the GM weeks and weeks for George McGinnis. He had Bobby Jones. So he traded Bobby Jones to Philadelphia.
Thank you.
For McGinnis.
McGinnis goes there. After the first practice, Larry walks in the kitchen. He's like, I can't coach this guy.
Nice. Was it George smoking a cigarette at practice?
That probably did it. So, yeah.
How great is that? It took one practice for Larry to change his mind. But Larry wore out some GMs, didn't he? Oh, yeah.
Larry would be in my office every day until the trade deadline.
Oh, he was?
And then you wouldn't see him.
But when he was in there, was he lobbying for?
Oh, yeah.
That's non-stop. Great. Al, you know what? That's the one job I think we could do. We'd probably be very good at that job.
What's that?
GM.
No, Al would. You would be terrible.
No. I wish you could see Billy's face. Yeah, right.
I was not a chance. I would be the GM. You could be the coach.
It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. Jim's here. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing?
Jim. Eagles Patriots Sunday, big game. What do you feel?
I feel a blowout coming.
I feel
the defense is a blowout. I feel the defense is going to come out and actually show what their potential was. Even though we didn't trade for Clowney, which I really hate because that 3-5 pick. Can we really trust Howie Roseman with those picks anymore? Because honestly, we really can't.
No. Wait a minute. I want to make sure I understand. You're predicting the Eagles will blow out the Patriots here Sunday?
Yes, we're going to do the same exact thing what the Baltimore Ravens did to them.
Wow. And you're basing this on what, Jim?
The Bronco.
Huh?
Yeah, Wentz.
Oh, Wentz.
The Bronco.
All right.
I'm a big Bronco person. I'm a big Wentz fan.
The Bronco Buck.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
I agree. Let the Broncos.
Guy's only been here 4 years. That must be about. So, Jim, you're counting on Wentz to have a big game because he's motivated. He wants to show he can beat the Patriots just the way Foles did, and he comes out firing, and they beat him easy.
Yes.
They slowly started letting him play. I got to tell you, Jim,
until
your call, I hadn't even considered the possibility of a blowout for the Eagles.
Well,
I thought of it the other way because Brady gets very hot, Al. He did throw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl.
Well, there's no Gronk here.
I love it, Jim. Jim, I love the way you're thinking. Let's get you in the ballpark with Rhea Hughes. No, this is actually in the stand.
Yeah.
Give me somebody who is not hungry.
Howie Roseman.
Ooh. Now, where this gets interesting is he was 2 years ago. And I have to weigh that because there's no real time on this. But Howie has not been hungry this year. And Billy King, if you missed it a little while ago, called for him to make a public appearance and address our question. That there was a nice gesture by you. Yes, you did.
Get used to it, Billy. Your words will be twisted.
Okay.
Do you think you should talk?
I would talk.
That's all I needed. Billy King saying, why the hell can't he talk? I did. It's the way he said it. 888-729-9494. #9494 on your AT&T Verizon cell phone. Who is on the hot seat? Now, Matt Breen just said that Klentak's on the warm seat. Who's on the hot seat? That's next. WIP Sports Time 916.